Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every infirmity. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples, and gave them authority over unclean spirits, with power to cast them out, and to heal every disease and every infirmity. "Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and preach the good news. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay." The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus moved amongst the crowds, unlike the Pharisees who stood apart, for after all, Pharisee means one apart. Jesus' life was spent in upholding the weak, the poor, and the disadvantaged. He was at home with the outcast, the sinners, and the very poor, because although they and the Pharisees considered that everyone's condition and position in life was the result of their sins and those of their forebears, he looked upon them rather as innocent victims or as children. He cured their illnesses, he cast out demons, for this was the cause of much illness, and he gave them hope and happiness, while the Pharisees condemned them, and above all, they condemned Jesus, this breaker of rules, this upstart from nowhere, this dreadful example, the lawbreaker. He first showed his power over souls, hearts, and bodies as he went about healing. After the disciples had seen the sea rebuked, the dead raised to life, he commissioned 12 ordinary men from humble backgrounds to do the same thing, giving them the power over unclean spirits and the power to heal. If they had gone about preaching without those powers, would anyone have listened to these nobodies? Jesus could work only in a small area and for the short time of 3 years. He wanted his idea of creating happiness and charity, of loving God and each other, following God's law and not trivial man-made rules and regulations, to reach all people everywhere. So he needed others to carry out this mammoth work. How much did this lowly man from Nazareth realize his powerful influence? How much of the rest of the wide world was he aware? After all, he was the son of a carpenter in a small town. In spite of these limitations, he knew that his aim was to free as many people as possible from the misery their so-called superiors inflicted on them. Hence his call for laborers in this vast harvest. He is calling us, though we may be insignificant, sinful, and unlettered. But how we live our lives is more significant than what we say. We are told to follow him, but do not condemn those to whom we feel alien. I remember so well during a weekend of prayer and praise, I noticed one particular woman, because she was rather stout, very plain, was wearing old-fashioned bent wire spectacles. Her rather short black dress was anything but clean, and whenever I saw her, she had a cigarette dangling from her mouth. I wondered how it happened that she did not seem to fit in somehow. A priest I knew suddenly appeared. I was amazed to see him embrace her, exclaiming how good it was to see her again. It turned out that she had been given the great gift of healing, which she used without hesitation for anyone who approached her with a request for prayer. So much for my unchristlike thoughts. Jesus calls us. He never compels or uses coercion, but he has called us as his followers, his disciples, we who are still learning and will do so until the day when we are called to give our account. To do this, we stay close to him. We keep learning to repent every time we fail to represent him in our community. We do this task because we were chosen and we do it as best we can, which so often is not very well. We represent Christ, and that is a most humbling thought, but also one of which we should be proud. We are privileged to be one of his flock, and at the same time we endeavour to be faithful, and to remain faithful we have to remain in the presence of God, always, and to develop a deep love for Scripture. Why did Jesus instruct his disciples not to go into the country of the Gentiles or Samaria? This meant that their first journeys they were restricted to Galilee. Galilee was literally surrounded by Gentiles, the Phoenicians, Syrians, and Samaritans. It was the people of Galilee that Jesus wanted to send his disciples first, maybe because living in a land through which many people journeyed, the inhabitants were always open to new ideas. The disciples probably had very little idea of the practices in other lands. Having only 12 commissioned followers to spread the good news, it was good practice to limit their field of action. This first command was temporary. Later, after the resurrection, when he had more disciples, he told them to go make disciples of all nations. But who better to start with than God's chosen people? His message to us is the same. Go and preach to all nations. Today we have all nationalities on our doorstep, but how many of us take time and give thought as to how we are to carry out our mission as Jesus' disciples, particularly those of us who are confined to their home ground? We read, study, and grow in love for the Scriptures. We stay close to Jesus, leaning on him as our friend and teacher, but do we introduce him to others? Today we celebrate the feast of St. Francis Xavier. His moving letters to St. Ignatius describes the conditions of the poor Christians who had no priest to teach them to celebrate Holy Mass and the sacraments. He says that he is beginning to understand that the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And he writes, many, many people are not becoming Christians because there is nobody to make them Christians. What a tragedy, how many souls are being shut out of heaven and falling into hell, thanks to you. As members of the Order of Preachers, the followers of St. Dominic, we have promised to do our utmost to fulfill our discipleship. We have received a gift beyond price, freely, and so we can share this gift freely for Jesus, the humble one, who does not come before he has been introduced. How we do this is up to each individual, and it is not always easy to discern how to do this. But even if we can see very little success in our efforts to show the love for the little ones of this world, we know that bringing Jesus to only one other person will be blessed and multiplied.